there are some lies in our science books. Taught it for 15 years. Even though I'm not teaching it anymore, I still like to study. It's so many neat things to learn. We're going to cover some of that tonight.
Perception is being managed. We are being steered and guided by a hidden hand.
The whole world has been duped by the media that is not real.
Smart thinking, possible time traveler. Smart thinking.
That night, boom, contact memory.
And then, Alex, if you don't agree, you'll be sent to a re-education camp.
Just because I'm old doesn't mean I've lost my touch with the ladies.
A lot of people here tonight felt like they lost. You know why?
Now, experts are suggesting that we're in a golden age of shape-shifting reptilian sightings. Now, why is that?
I was, and still am, a huge conspiracy guy. I literally ran out of new tin hat topics to research.
It was most definitely not capable of melting steel.
Then I would be a crackpot if I thought that was the case.
Thought that was the case.
Welcome to the Hypothetical Institute, a podcast about conspiracies.
My name is Luke.
I'm Salt.
I'm Cam. Gentlemen, how are we?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I'm all right. Thanks. How are you?
I'm wonderful, thank you. Big difference between how we answered that question off air.
if the weight of the world isn't weighing you down right now, you know,
yeah.
What are you doing? You're doing it wrong.
Let's get into it. You come to the Hypothetical Institute for one thing, and that is up-to-the-minute infrastructure news. So this week we're talking about the bridge collapse from, was it even in April?
March 26th. That's American time.
Yeah. We're talking about the bridge collapse on March 26th, 2024 in Baltimore. And
less than a month ago, but the news just moves on very quickly these days.
The news does move on, but we don't move on because the reason we've taken so long to get to it is so that we could do a full and thorough investigation of the conspiracy theories surrounding the Baltimore bridge collapse.
Yes.
So, just a recap, in case you've forgotten about the Baltimore Bridge collapse. A boat hit the bridge. The bridge collapsed.
Yep. Yep. Pretty.
Now you're up to speed.
Pretty cut and dry in terms of, like, you know, something hits something and it falls down. Something that we've seen in history a lot. September 11th, we saw two things hit two things and they fell down. Hindenburg?
Yep. What hit the Hindenburg?
Physics hit it, Cam. Yeah. the Hindenburg hit something and everything fell down, right?
Didn't it just ignite because of static electricity?
Oh, yeah, it did too. Then it hit something.
It hit the ground.
Right, bad example. I was just pulling things out, you know?
Yeah, we know. That's why we were challenging you to explain the Hindenburg. I wonder if we could perhaps start by discussing the reaction on reddit.com/r/conspiracy.
Yeah, what have you got?
Well, so we've talked, just before we get into it, we've talked a bit before about how r/conspiracy is like a, you know, the hub of conspiracy on Reddit, and it's sort of a little bit, I don't know, it's in previous times, it's been like a central conspiracizing space on the internet. And on reddit.com/r/conspiracy, there are waves of different sorts of users that dominate the discussion. So oftentimes it'll be very MAGA heavy. There's a lot of MAGA activity. And I don't know that all of this activity is always organic. So you'll have a lot of MAGA people come through. They start getting banned, et cetera, et cetera. And then you'll have like a wave of people that are less MAGA focused that are posting more general conspiracizing. And then the MAGA people will come back, and it goes around and around like this. The reaction on our conspiracy to the Baltimore Bridge thing, I think, is really interesting when you compare it to other platforms. So I'm going to read to you the main thread on the bridge collapse that was posted on the day.
Go.
Are you reading it from top to bottom?
I will. Sad Bother 7444 writes, "I was on the Baltimore Bridge 15 minutes before it fatally collapsed this morning. In case you are not aware, a bridge in Baltimore/Maryland this morning fatally collapsed after a large cargo ship struck into it and caused the entire bridge to go down. I'm sitting at my desk unable to do anything. It's hard to focus when you've literally just escaped a horrible death by 15 minutes on your commute into work. It really puts life into perspective. They are calling it a, quote, mass casualty event. Some are saying the bridge was hacked in some sort of way to manipulate the steering and propel it into the bridge. I think they mean the boat. But anyway, Andrew Tate just tweeted about it, calling it a black swan event. What is going on? That was the thread.
What's a black swan event, Luke?
A black swan event is a phrase used in the world of finance to describe an extremely negative event or occurrence that is impossibly difficult to predict.
Right.
In other words, black swan events are events that are unexpected and unknowable. There's a bit of history. This is from Wikipedia. The phrase black swan derives from the Latin expression. Its oldest known occurrence is from the 2nd century Roman poet Juvenal's character in Satire 6. Blah, blah, blah. But now it seems to be used a lot for, like, shorthand for, like, I don't know, I get the sense people are using it like it's going to start the whole downfall of society or something, the way that people are throwing it around. But it just means something that you can't predict,
yeah,
basically.
Because you're looking at all the swans, you're like, a lot of white swans. Oh, fuck.
Well, yeah, that's the history of it is basically they didn't think white swans existed, black swans existed.
They come down to Australia.
Yeah, yeah. I think Australian is part of it. So the phrase is coined by Romans under the presumption that they didn't exist, and then it got into common expression. And then Dutch explorers popped over to WA, and they're like, oh, no.
Yeah, stacks of them. This is no good. This is a black swan event for the entire metaphor market.
Yeah.
We could never have expected this.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a black swan event. It is strange. It is being used so freely. And this is something that I don't know if I've noted it down here, but I was thinking about it recently of, you know, the cookers get a phrase. That's right. You know how they talk about it? The media has these narratives. The mainstream media has these narratives they push. And, you know, that's the big problem with the mainstream media. But as soon as something happens in the cooked sphere or something's a conspiracy, every conspiracy podcast, every tweeter is just focusing on that, and they all have the same language. I listened to two podcasts about the bridge one. One was the Redacted podcast, and the other one was what are they called? Investigate Earth podcast. And I'll talk about both a bit more, but they literally had the same. I don't want to say script, but you know they're just getting the same information from the same garbage sources and regurgitating it. And you know, all their criticism of mainstream media is just like it's a projection of what they're doing. And yeah, you know, Andrew Tate using the word black swan at the same time as all the cookers, like, where's he getting that word from? Like, why are they all suddenly using it? It's yeah, weird. So hopefully that answers your question, Salty.
Yeah. So the comments on this Reddit thread, I think instructive. They teach it. Tell us something about Reddit, maybe as a community. Because the audience on our conspiracy, they want to make conspiracies, but they're also on reddit.com. Mm. And so when a boat goes into a bridge, it's like there's a little devil on their shoulder saying, you know, the CCP hacked the boat. And there's a little angel on their shoulder with like a monocle and a funny moustache and a goatee. It's the Reddit angel. And he's saying, well, actually, if a boat were to lose traction and it was unable to turn, it would go straight into the bridge. And of course, the bridge is not designed for something with the size of a skyscraper to crash into it. Even the sturdiest bridge couldn't survive that. And so the Reddit angel beat the conspiracy devil, their desire to, I'm actually conspiracy theorist.
The way you described that sounded all like the Hypothepod logo
again. Oh, yeah.
Funny little monocle and moustache.
The Reddit logo and the Hypothepod logo are similar.
So yeah, they got into the nitty gritty about boats and bridges, and I liked it. But then they also started asking questions because they are still conspiracy theorists, and they noticed something a little funny about this guy's post. They're like, "Why were you commuting to your job at 1 a.m, and why are you now? So you're now sitting at your desk at 3 a.m." talking about this, and we've looked at your other posts and you say you're an accountant. What sort of accountant has to commute to work at 1 a.m? and the guy never responds to any of this, which right. only raises their eyebrows further. And eventually a mod says, it's an amazing coincidence that a day after you started posting on our conspiracy, you were in such close proximity to a major catastrophic event. So nobody believed him.
What's his motivation for posting it then?
He could just be like getting Andrew Tate's thing out there, getting the Black Swan little thing out there. Mm. But they were not going for it on Reddit.
I'm banned now on two accounts on the Reddit conspiracy subreddit. They do not like free speech there.
But you will notice that in his post, he referenced what people were saying on X.com. Mm. And that's where a lot of the big conspiracizing happened.
And what were they saying?
They were losing their marbles. it's just, I think it might have been the first really good example of how Twitter is useless now for any sort of breaking news event. Mm. I think we've had examples before, but this was like, I think because it was quite sensational, and there's the video of the bridge collapsing, so there were a lot of eyes on it, and so people could see that within minutes of this happening, people were, like, making shit up.
Yeah.
And previously you would go on Twitter and you could look up something like Baltimore Bridge and you would get journalists talking about it, but now you were just getting blue ticks. So you used to get blue ticks talking about it, now you still get blue ticks, but they're all, like, low information. People just talking absolute nonsense.
Yeah, the last couple of times I've jumped back over to Reddit, Twitter to look at a breaking news thing, it's just astounding at how bad it is for that now. You know, you click on that post that explains it, and then, you know, typically you used to see the people that you followed and then verified accounts having reasonable discussion, and now you just see shit. Mm. It's just, like, there's no discussion happening, and it's really quite frustrating.
So the big sort of talking points on Twitter were that this was like a deliberate attack, that the boat had been hacked somehow. There was a lot of like linking it to various other incidents over the past, I don't know, decade or so, which I thought was interesting. I saw one thing that said, look at all of these incidents. The New York Stock Exchange disruption, July 2015. The Atlanta Airport blackout, December 2017. The San Diego Port ransomware attack, September 2018. And just a huge list of things like this, which they were like connecting. Mm. Like, this is across multiple presidents as well. Mm.
So I think the person that's kind of pushed that theory of, I can't remember what she called it, but Lara Logan. Have you guys come across her before?
Tell us more about Lara Logan.
She's a journo that got really cooked. Some of the things she's done in the last few years are saying that Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez won her election because of an unspecified plot by unknown entities that control Antifa. She's tweeted a lot of the fake Antifa accounts that are actually run by Nazis. She tweeted a hoax about the Baltimore riots. And then she claimed that there was a campaign to destroy her that was being run by Media Matters, the left-wing kind of fact-checking place, because she kept on getting all these things wrong. She said it was a conspiracy to attack her and discredit her, not that she was just shit at her job. She was one of the big pushers of the Pallets of Bricks stories that were going around when during Black Lives Matter, people were saying there's pallets of bricks being left out to stoke violence, but it was just random photos people were posting. And then she promoted a joke tweet which linked Antifa to juggalos and a clown hierarchy. She focused on the portion of the tweet that mentioned a traditional command structure and argued that anarchists had indeed had organizational structure. She also claimed that Charles Darwin was employed by the Rothschild family to create his theory of evolution. So she's fucking cooked. she was on Fox News, and she's like cited as a credible talking head. She's saying it's all part of a plan, the bridge thing and all the things you've mentioned, Cam, to weaken infrastructure with little incidents. So it's like death by a thousand cuts, rather than just doing one big job, you know, one big September 11th, lots of little things, and America will just start falling apart because it can't react to all these things. Which, you know, is an interesting theory if you kind of ignore that the US infrastructure is like crumbling pretty badly by itself. You know, there's no real major investment in improving the US. Well, you know, to draw paint it with a broad brush, but from what I can see, it's pretty much crumbling itself, right?
Yeah, I am. I saw someone saying about, like, you know, the FBI within 5 hours of the crash had come in and said, well, we don't have any evidence that this was terrorism. Mm. And so, like, this was the fact that they came out after so little time and could say this was clear evidence that they were covering something up.
Mm.
But I did think, you know, if this was terrorism and if any of these things that Lara Logan has highlighted were terrorism, was, and some of them were, like the cyber attacks, actual cyber attacks. But if there's a terrorism, the government's not going to be like, oh, we don't want people to know there was a terrorism. Famously, they like it when there's a terrorism.
It really works out for everyone involved, right? She was one of the ones saying it's definitely not a cyber attack, and how could they say it definitely wasn't? I jumped onto some other subreddits, not our conspiracy. I had a look at the NBA subreddit at some highlights, looked at Melbourne just to see what's going on in Melbourne, and then I jumped onto some of the shipping ones and looked at some people that are engineering subreddits and people discussing it in those ones. And basically they all said hacking it is pretty impossible because that it's a quite an old ship. I think it was built in 2014. But all the IT network for the navigation and everything is completely separate to everything else. So, you know, for all the controls and everything, like, it's fail-safe, so it doesn't get hacked unless someone was actually actively on the boat or went into the boat and did it. And given it wasn't a state boat, like it wasn't an American boat, like, you know, what's the logic to hack into that? And then I watched one by Chief McCoy, who's a big boat guy, and he does a whole lot of boat YouTube stuff. And he basically said, it's so easy for a boat like that to lose power. You can see the plumes of smoke coming out, which is basically the engines restarting and the diesel pushing it all out. And he had diagrams of how it would, like, you know, exactly as it said. And there's no, you know, it was just so obvious it wasn't hacking, basically. And so the FBI would have seen all that really quickly and gone, okay, cool, it's not hacking.
Yeah. Also, there's, like, not very, very many people on the boat. So they can, you know, go and talk to all of them within 5 hours.
Yeah, yeah. What happened? Here's what happened. Okay, that's, yeah, right.
Yeah. What's going on with shipping is another good YouTube channel that answers the question, what is going on with shipping?
Oh, I think he's the one that sent me to Chief McCoy.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It's so interesting, like, the contrast of spending so much time looking at conspiracy subreddits and people, like, extrapolating these half-truths. And even, you know, that lady's on Fox News just talking absolute shit, just lying through her teeth, just at whatever comes to mind. And then, you know, there's experts on YouTube just giving full-on, in-depth, really, really well-researched stuff just for free, and it's just getting completely ignored.
I did see also on X.com there was a representative from the new federal state of China, also known as Himalaya Australia. So Leonardo DiCaprio pointing at the screen meme, Australia. I recognize that country. So this is Steve Bannon and Miles Guo's like alternate government for China. So they are very down on the CCP, and they reckon that the CCP hacked the boat because they have boat hacking technology that we could not even imagine. And they also used it on Miles Guo's yacht a few years ago. He was on his yacht and it lost power, and he realized it was the Chinese government hacking his yacht. That's how they know that they have this technology. You may also recall the Malaysia Airlines flight that went missing. They got it with their boat technology.
To what end?
Oh, they're just evil.
I knew it.
And you know, it's taking down infrastructure and stuff.
It seems a random piece of infrastructure to take down.
Yeah, that is, until you realize, as I also learned on X.com, is that the bridge is named after a slave owner.
Okay.
I think it's Francis Scott Key, who owned slaves. A few people suggested maybe when we put the bridge back up, there's got to be like some other guy in Baltimore that we can name a bridge after. And yep, lots of people. And people, so they lost their minds. They're like, you can't change the name of the bridge. It's like, well, they can because the bridge is gone. But then because people said that, they're like, you know what? They took down the bridge. BLM took the bridge down, so they would have to change the name because they realized you can't just change the name of a bridge if it's still there.
You can.
Yeah, you can.
Do it really easily.
there was a lot of racism around the black mayor of Baltimore, who sort of went onto the national stage because of this. And people like calling him the DEI mayor, which is diversity, equity, and inclusion. To which he said, you know, the reason they're calling me the DEI mayor is because they can't call me the N mayor. So I come back for the ages.
I did see people saying that, look at this mayor, he's so young. How could a mayor that's so young get a job like that? It's like, oh, you really want to say another word, don't you? It's like that Fresh Prince of Bel-Air episode where his auntie gets a white boyfriend, and then when he leaves, everyone's like, oh my God, I didn't realize he was so tall. Just like that episode.
Yep. Good cultural touchstone that everyone can relate to, Robbo.
There's a bit of a juxtaposition or a bit of a logic gap in this as well that I picked up on. That so Biden came out like the next day or within days and said, we're going to completely fund the rebuild of it. You know, the federal government's going to cover all the costs. And I think what he meant was like, let's just get it built and then we'll work out who's paying for it later on.
Yeah, well, because there's going to be years of litigation about who's responsible for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Eventually going to pay for it.
So they all looked at this, and all the cookers looked at this and said, why would he do that? Because the East Palestine train derailment, the federal government didn't really do anything about that. East Palestine in America. They didn't really do anything about that. Why would they jump so quickly to do this? But in the same like podcast or the same discussions I was reading, they're also saying that this is critical infrastructure and this is why it's been taken down by the hackers and, you know, whatever. But then saying, well, why would the government, you know, rush to replace it?
Yeah.
I think you're answering your own question by, you know, like it's this, this is kind of like just not, they just don't think it through in any way. But yeah, the Biden came out and said they're going to build it again. And the government's going to pay for it. But I think what he meant was, because, you know, he's old. He doesn't speak properly. Not because of his stutter, because of his oncoming dementia. He just got it wrong slightly.
Now, Robbo, the only other thing I've got is that obviously the recent Obama-produced film Leave the World Behind included a scene in which a boat loses power and sort of keeps going in a forward direction.
Mm-hmm.
And this was them predictive programming us for this thing that they did, I would say, awfully quickly after they predictive programmed us. I think they're supposed to seed these things through pop culture for decades, right? So that we're used to it by the time it happens. What's, so that we're like, oh, well, that makes sense. But maybe, in fairness, most people saw that the boat lost power and crashed into something and were like, yeah, that does make sense. Didn't have power. So maybe it did work on us all.
What's interesting about this Leave the World Behind thing? Have either of you guys watched it yet?
Yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah, it is good.
What's interesting about this is the only time I ever hear about it is on conspiracy channels going, can you believe Barack Obama's done this Leave the World Behind thing? Like, that's the best marketing for it. I think we even posited recently that was a guerrilla marketing campaign to get people talking about it.
Yeah. I don't know if it translated into mainstream watching of it. I think it did all right, I think. So there's a lot of talk about the symbology of this boat and, like, because it's from Singapore, and in that movie Leave the World Behind, the boat is called White Lion, and then they're like, well, it's White Lion in the movie. This real boat is from Singapore, which has a symbol of a lion, which it doesn't really. It has, like, Sentosa Island has the famous merlion statue. I think that was the connection. And then there's also, what was it about Sri Lanka?
So the boat was going to Sri Lanka, and Sri Lanka has a lion on its flag.
Yeah, but not a white lion, a yellow lion.
No, not a white lion. It's a yellow lion.
But so they could have saved themselves some trouble by saying in the movie there's a lion.
Yes. The word lion is used in the movie. Is there a lion in the movie as well?
I don't think so. There's some deer. There's white Teslas.
Really?
Yeah. It's not a bad movie.
A couple of things as well. There was some footage of birds disappearing on video. So I think Fox News was showing footage, or one of the news channels was showing footage of the bridge and everything, and it looked like it was live footage. And you see these three birds flying across, and then they disappear immediately.
because they went into the body force field.
They went into the force field, which blew up on TikTok. And then, like, it's quite alarming because you're watching this, you know, look, you think it's live or it looks, you know, it doesn't look like a looped video, which it obviously is. But it's just so stark because you see these birds just disappear and it just hasn't changed frame. Kind of like on speed, when you take all the speed, you take a lot of speed and you can't remember, you know, seeing birds disappearing. The movie Speed as well. The podcast I listened to, I forgot their name again. It's really stupid. Investigate Earth podcast. They were talking about the birds disappearing and they got sidetracked and started talking about how if you put Meghan Markle into an AI camera, it looks like Kate Middleton. So they can do anything now.
Yeah, sure.
The final thing I had was Project Azorian, which I think we've talked a little bit about in the past, but the connection here, so Project Azorian was a project in the to rescue to get a Russian sub that had sunk by the Americans. So the Americans pretended they were going to get, like, doing a mining exhibition and then went to lift up this Russian sub they'd found. And to use that, they built the special boat. And to build the special boat, they built a special crane. And that crane is now being used to retrieve the wreckage of the bridge in this one. So it's got a connection to a Cold War conspiracy. That conspiracy is quite interesting. I don't know if we've talked about this or one similar where they said they were doing something in Antarctica and they were really doing something else. But, yeah, there's a whole project by the Americans to get this Russian sub. And the Russians found out about it, that they were going to steal the sub, and they were like, oh, it's probably too hard, so they're not going to do it. And then when they did it, the Russians were like, oh, no, they had to panic and try and get it back. But, yeah, that crane was built the boat that retrieved the Russian sub.
There you go.
Where are the cookers on that? They're not even getting that deep into it.
Yeah. And it's like, it's just a crane.
It is just a crane.
You don't use a crane once and throw it away.
No, it's a big crane though.
Mm.
Yeah, that's about it. I mean, all the usual shit is in there. But, you know, the other thing is in The Wire. Did you guys see this? The Wire season 2, which I watched recently. The main guy is standing there talking to his nephew, I think.
Yep, Frank Sobotka.
Yep, and he's talking to Nick Sobotka.
Yep.
And he says, you see that bridge, Nick? It's one of them. What do you call it? A metaphor. It's like us Sobotkas and our union and the whole working class in this country. So he's saying that bridge will be there forever. Which is, you know, a metaphor now in itself in a different way.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, Robbo, Salty, all I can say is that in the 25 minutes or so since Robbo mentioned the stacks of bricks outside that were left all over the place during the BLM uprising, all I can think is, you know, obviously, no, there wasn't a conspiracy, but the little devil on my shoulder is like, I wonder if it was like glaziers. Glaziers were like, you know what, let's just leave some brick out.
Or maybe it was bloody Glenn Danzig.
Yeah.
Wasn't that Danzig.
Yeah.
Who pissed off his neighbours by leaving heaps of bricks in his front yard?
I think that we've talked about it in the past, but I think that was just a joke someone started on the internet and it just blew up.
There's a photo of Danzig with his bricks.
Yeah. Oh, there is too. There's a photo outside. Yeah.
Yeah. So either Danzig or glaziers,
yeah.
neither of whom I'm entirely sure we can trust. Shall we have some news?
Yeah, there's a lot of news.
So, yeah, in the past few days in Sydney, there was a knife attack at a shopping centre that I think we probably don't want to get too much into the details, but it proved a lot of what we were just talking about regarding Twitter or X.com.
Yeah.
Instantly, there were these people using it to make political points. The first ones were, you know, people talking about this is probably a Muslim that's done this. This is some sort of Islamist attack.
This is what we get for our immigration policies.
I saw one guy, because to reference another meme, this is the I can excuse racism, but I draw the line at meme.
Mm.
So don't cancel me. But it's like when some cooked Islamophobe is like, oh, this is Muslims. It's like, well, fish are going to swim. I sort of, what are we going to do about that? But then I saw one of those cooked Islamophobes who was like, oh, it's probably Muslims, was also like, you know, if they'd allowed the bike lanes that had been proposed outside that shopping mall to be built, then it would have meant that law enforcement and ambulances would not have been able to get to the victims as quickly as they did. And it's like, I can excuse racism, but I draw the line at weird anti-bike lane shit. Like, that's depraved. That you're like, oh, I'm going to use this to make a point about bike lanes.
Bike lanes are one of those flashpoints for cookers. Like, you know, this culture war they all think they're fighting. You know, anyone that's not them is just like, oh, yeah, a bike lane would make sense to help people on bikes. But in their minds, it's like just connected to the worst things.
And also, sorry, go on, Salty. Yep.
I mean, this is not fucking really relevant, but in terms of bike lanes, am I the cunt?
Here we go.
Getting ready to cut.
Am I, this is like an am I the asshole thing, right? But if you're driving on a road that has like no room for anyone to ride a bike in the lane where they would normally ride a bike, and there's a dedicated giant double lane bike lane off to the side of the road, and are someone you, rides their the bike on the road.
Are you the asshole, right? If you hit the bike?
No, just them riding on the road when there's a giant bike path next to the road and the road actually doesn't have room for them to ride their bike on safely.
A lot of those bike paths are really badly made. And
let's say where I'm talking about, it's perfect. It's actually just been redone. It's like pristine.
A lot of people that ride bikes are also as bad as people that, you know, everyone's bad. Well, there's a lot of bad people. Yeah. It's proper, like, I don't know, everyone's trying to get somewhere, right?
Yeah, but get there on the bit of fucking road that they've made for you to ride on. Don't, like, hold up two lanes of traffic because you think you need to ride on the road when there's a bike path almost as wide as the road for you to go nuts on. Go nuts on it. Ride fucking three abreast on there. There's enough room.
So Salty's arguing for
bike paths.
Yeah, better bike paths everywhere.
Yeah.
Let's improve that infrastructure.
The other thing is, in this scenario, was it just going to be like wall-to-wall bikes on the bike path so that an ambulance couldn't get through? Anyway.
This is just down the beach.
In the guy saying if they'd put in a bike path outside the shopping centre, people would have died.
Yeah, they would have had no road.
I've got to say, Salty, I'm shocked that it's down the beach and not Footscray Road.
Don't even get me started on the bike paths in Footscray, mate. Bike paths in Footscray that I've never seen a single bike on or the street, but they take away like one entire lane of like the busiest roads in Footscray for bikes that no one rides on.
So anyway, the next thing that happened after people came out and were like, oh, it was a Muslim, or like the Nazi was like, he doesn't look very white, is that some guy was just like, oh, no, it was a guy called Benjamin Cohen. And it was literally just some guy on Twitter was like, nah, it was a guy called Benjamin Cohen. And then a few people started tweeting that. I saw someone being like, what's your source on this? And they're like, it's the same source as the people that said it was a Muslim. So there was no like pretense of being legit. But then it got picked up by Simeon Boykov, the Aussie Cossack, who posted like the LinkedIn of a real guy called Benjamin Cohen, who sort of looked vaguely like the attacker in the sense that they both sort of had a face and hair. And it just went crazy. There were like 70,000 tweets about this guy.
Jesus.
Including retweets and shit. But, just madness. And then eventually they revealed that it was this Joel Couchy. He's just a guy from Queensland. And, yeah, that was the end of that.
We've sort of talked about in the past where when things like this happen, both sides race to try and prove that it was – so I guess the right wing just tries to prove that it's anyone that's not them who they think is commie. And then, you know, anyone on the left is like, well, it's probably some Nazi that's gone nuts.
I think what happened here was like it was a real response to the people it was like that were instantly like, it's a Muslim. They're like, you know, someone said, yeah, I can do the same thing back.
Yeah, right.
And say, no, I think it was a Jewish guy.
Yeah. I missed all of that because I don't use Twitter anymore. And like, I was just like, oh, yeah, it's cool that we don't see all this trash anymore around these things. And then I saw this article in The Guardian talking about how it was all this trash on Twitter. I was like, oh, right, that's where it is.
Yeah.
So I feel like I need to get back on Twitter and start seeing this trash again. No,
you're better off Twitter. All right, we have some news. More news. Item number one, because it has been a while since we've done this, there was some Kate news.
Yeah.
Princess Kate.
So fortunately on the podcast, I think we all kind of concluded that she was probably just unwell still.
Yeah.
And then it turns out she is unwell.
Yes.
That's right. I went back and listened to our King Charles episode just to see what we were saying about him, because he's being diagnosed with cancer and she has as well. At the time in that episode, we talk about that he had proposed coffee enemas as a cure for cancer.
Mm.
So now I'm wondering if he's filling his butt with coffee. Do you think the king's doing that?
I think so.
The other thing we talked about was the movie King Ralph.
Yeah.
Salty, do you remember how King Ralph starts? Where Harry becomes king?
Because everyone gets electrocuted.
Yeah. they're all posing for a photo.
Yeah.
And part of what happened after this, you know, the digital photo manipulation, one of the photos they showed that had been manipulated was like a whole bunch of the royals standing there. And the queen was sitting and there's all the kids around her and stuff. Like, oh, look, it's been edited and, you know, maybe they weren't all together. And I was like, after listening to the podcast, I was like, oh, it's because they saw King Ralph. And then you can't have them all taking the same photo. They can't all be
in one photo.
Yeah. That's just smart, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I got about Kate.
I think the other bit of news was that a lot of journos came out and were like, oh, we're ashamed for the part that we played.
Yeah, they should be.
Yeah. The next bit of news.
Just on that. Mm-hmm. How the fuck are we the voice of reason?
Yeah.
Like, the world just collectively lost their mind and we were like, oh, it's probably nothing. Anyway.
The next bit of news comes from r/conspiracy. And this is, I reckon this could be one that comes up. You know, there was like a conspiracy theories a few years ago about like mattress stores and how mattress stores they didn't make any sense, but there's so many of them. But like you go in and there's never anyone there. I think this could be the new mattress stores. This guy is a truck driver, apparently. He says, I try to get chiropractic work done often, and I've often found myself going to The Joint, which is a chiropractic franchise. And he always notices that there's always a Crumble Cookies outlet right next to The Joint, wherever he goes, or within sight of it. Why is it that Crumble Cookies and The Joint are so connected? And he provides very little evidence of this. Like, he's got a map. He has maps with locations of both franchises, and they do match up quite well.
Oh, all that map shows me is there are far too many Crumble Cookies. This is like one city, I think, or is it? It's like a part of LA, and there's like 14 Crumble Cookies.
There's also like a lot of chiropractic places.
If you read the comments, a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, in my city, there's one right down the block from another. So anecdotally, a lot of people are verifying it and saying, yeah, this does seem strange. Maybe if I remember, I'll see if I can find some more info. But I mean, this could be big.
Could be big. Could be the next big thing. Chiropractory is like made up, right?
Yeah.
But I still feel like if someone could just crack my back really well, I'd like it a lot.
Yeah. Yep.
Next item here is $43 million. Is this right? $43 million billion?
Oh, yeah.
Were confiscated from the tunnel connecting the Vatican to the island of Maui, Hawaii. Mm-hmm. 1,500 miles long and 15 kilometers deep underground. White helmets transported 650 military flights to be stored on a mountain. What does that mean? From this tunnel, thousands of children and women who had their limbs cut off and were forced into sexual slavery were rescued. The limbs they sell into handbags, leather shoes, and beef at McDonald's. Have children who have never seen the light of day. Of course, mebeds were used after that. I think they mean medbeds. This 43 quadrillion and the world's existing gold will be distributed to humanity. #PPN, it's happening, writes PPN 1776 a verified account on twitter.com.
Mm. I enjoyed reading that. It just some good old school classic gear in there.
It is. This has been corrected by community notes, which Elon Musk recently described as the best fact-checking service in the world in his deposition after he named a random Jewish college student in another state as being a neo-Nazi in a brawl in like California. The community notes people have noted the Vatican is approximately 8,000 from the island of Maui, Hawaii. So 8,000 what? They don't say, but they're saying...
I'm assuming miles.
I'm assuming the 15, that whether it's miles or kilometers, the 1,500 miles long tunnel between Maui and the Vatican isn't going to be long enough. No comment, though, from the readers adding context they thought people might want to know on the children in the tunnels, the handbags, the leather shoes, the beef at McDonald's made out of human meat, and the fact that people were cured by med beds. Just the tunnel doesn't make any sense. And as the first reply to this is, they dug a tunnel under the ocean? I doubt that.
The McDonald's eating children, or sorry, using children as food has come up for me recently. I found Facebook suggested a post from a New Zealand lady who's like a, you know, cooking and home, like, you know, home help lady, you know, a bit down home, you know, this is practical advice for families. She's like, you know, don't take your kids to McDonald's. Here's what the shit in the food there. And this is the, you know, what you can, the same money can get you. There's so much more nutrition. And it doesn't have
human meat in it.
Yeah, it doesn't have human meat. And everyone's just like, well, you had me in the first half, but the second half, I'm completely confused. That seems to be popping up a little bit more, this one, the McDonald's using kids. Also, this account, PPN or at PPN1776, I've seen this account referenced by some other, like, pretty major accounts because it just tweets out all sorts of shit. And I think that's how I came across it. Someone, like, you know, reasonably serious shared something from this, and then I was looking through and saw this absolute trash. Yeah, at least I saved the children.
Next item on the chopping block is Tennessee moves to classify vaccine lettuce as a drug. Now, Robbo, this article was published in Newsweek on April 1st. Are you confident that you haven't been bamboozled?
100%. This is not an April Fool's article. It's like, man, they should have waited a day. I think Tennessee has been pushing through a lot of weird laws. I don't think vaccine lettuce exists, but they're like, we need to stop this vaccine lettuce getting into it. I've seen a couple of other similar things, like similar laws popping up in Tennessee lately that I think they outlawed chemtrails or something.
They did.
Yeah, that was Tennessee, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So something's afoot there. But yeah, pick any other day to publish this vaccine lettuce story.
We have some MH370 news from Ashton Forbes.
Yeah.
Who wrote, we're going to have scientific experimental proof that the MH370 videos are real sooner rather than later. I am on the record months ago saying this is exactly how the plane was warped. What he's saying about it, exactly how it was warped is that there has been new research into gravitons that can connect quantum mechanics and relativity.
So this is the guy that got ripped off. I think he paid like $10,000 to get secret documents. And then he unlocked them on a live stream and they were just trash. Right. Yeah. He's still going anyway. Anyway, that's it.
A bit of news from about Twitter, if you can believe it, which is, I think this news is especially outdated. Elon Musk's ex pushed a fake headline about Iran attacking Israel. AI chatbot Grok made it up. Well, maybe it was just predictive programming.
Yeah, it's happened.
Now it's happened. So... But it hadn't happened weeks ago when X was just like, there's been an attack from Iran.
So what Grok is doing is they used to have humans summarizing, like, you know, breaking news events, and you'd click on the search thing, it would have a little bit about the news, and then it would have all the relevant links. Now they've got this AI thing to do it, and it just doesn't distinguish between real and fake links. So there was an Onion story the other day that it was presenting as a breaking news story. I don't know if it was that one or a different one, but one was about New York had deployed cops to shoot the earthquake. So yeah, it's going well. Also, I guess Elon Musk's fake accounts have come up, where he's tweeting as his kid, and tweeting as someone that said, like, can't believe Grimes left Mr. Space. I bet their kids aren't happy that they don't get to hang out with the Tesla king again. And it was just Elon Musk tweeting it.
Yeah.
On a fake account.
Good
real,
stuff.
Real weird guy.
You need to get back on here, Robbo. You're missing out on it.
I know.
Bit of news about Havana Syndrome.
Yeah, 60 Minutes had a Havana Syndrome story, 60 Minutes in the US. I watched it, and it was shit. One of the main sources is a guy who's since left the military or whatever army worked for to start up his own contracting firm to, like, advise the government on how to deal with Havana Syndrome. So I feel like he's got a bit of a vested interest in saying that it's true. But they just basically got some agents saying, you know, they got headaches and there was a van nearby. And one of the guys investigating it said it's happening to the top 5 to 10% of officers in the field, which I kind of would – and this is a CIA or FBI, I think CIA officers. And I'm kind of positing that the top 5% of CIA officers, if they can be identified, then they're not – doing very good at their job.
No.
I think they're actually maybe not in the top tier. There's really no evidence for this other than a Russian was caught on a phone call before one of the alleged events saying from the phone call in Russian, is it supposed to have blinking lights? Should I leave it on all night?
Could have been talking about anything.
Yeah. There's another guy.
Could have been trying to get his work out his VCR.
Yeah. Or a modem? It just sounds like a modem problem, right?
Yeah.
There's another guy who was in the military and then became a chef and then was arrested in Miami and had all this like a computer equipment, and he's arrested for speeding, and then he was let go, and then he went back to Russia and was killed. And the theory was that, you know, I think he was near where some of these were happening or something. And then one of the ladies that says she's been affected is was like, you know, look how effective this has been. Like, it's been such an effective campaign. But like, she's just getting headaches and she's saying it's happening to 100 people. It's not that effective. So yeah, anyway, Havana Syndrome still happening. I still don't buy it.
Next bit of news, reality check radio off the ear.
Yeah.
I thought you were doing a little, New Zealand accent joke, but I think it's just a typo. It's off the air.
Yeah.
That's a conspiracy.
It's like a cooked
conspiracy. Yeah, I think streaming. Were they actually on a radio frequency?
I think they were. It was in New Zealand. So there's billboards like in the cities and stuff in New Zealand. I was eating a real fruit ice cream, which is a pretty uniquely New Zealand treat, where they mush real fruit into your ice cream and then give it to you. Real delight. You choose your fruit and they just do it on the spot for you. This is in Murchison on a sunny day, and at the cart that I was eating my real fruit ice cream, by the seats they had a reality check radio thing.
What fruit did you have?
I think I must have had
blueberry. What's your go-to? You had blueberry.
That was blueberry.
You go with whatever takes your fancy at the time?
Yeah, look, a mixed berry is pretty safe, I think. This was blueberry season, and I think they were advertising fresh blueberries, so you know, you're going to go for that. But my local one has a range, and I went for banana one time. It was bloody delightful. So, you know, either a raspberry, blueberry, or banana. Anyway, this cooked radio show's off the air, or radio station's off the air in New Zealand, which is great.
Yeah, because it seemed like they had invested quite heavily in billboards, from what I understand.
A lot of billboards. And it was, you just look at it and go, well, this is cooked.
Next item, Jacob Wall got fined $1.25 million for his robocall scam. I think it was like basically just calling up black voters and being like, don't forget to vote on November 5 or whatever it is.
So he was the guy that claimed that he's claimed a whole bunch of things. One of them was he had someone that was going to come out and give all the secret gossip about Obama, maybe?
Yeah, that was one of his things. He's had a lot of things. His thing was like calling a press conference and being like, oh, we're going to tell you some big secret and we've gotten some random guy who's going to tell you that he sucked off Obama. And then it seemed, turned out in the background he was doing stuff like disenfranchising voters. Everyone's like, this guy's funny, but like he's funny, weird, little funny, ha-ha. Then it turned out he was just an evil dude.
Yeah, so he's still doing dumb shit and getting fined for it.
Ethan Crumbly's family were found guilty of, I think, negligence or something like this. Ethan Crumbly was a mass shooter. He committed a shooting at a school. And I think that the prosecutors, the DA's office was like, this kid shouldn't have had a gun. Like this kid was like talking about mass shootings. I think he was talking about being depressed. And they're like, you know what would be a great birthday present is a gun.
Yeah. So, and they were called into school, I think, on the day. And they were like, hey, is everything okay with your son? And they're like, yeah, he's fine.
Mm.
And they didn't mention anything about him having a gun or being depressed or whatever. I guess one of the things that I think is interesting about this is you think of like how a lot of these conspiracy movements started. It was through Ruby Ridge and other similar things. And in this case, you know, the parents didn't shoot anyone.
Mm.
But they're being sentenced to prison because of what their son did. And they give the conspiracy world is silent on it.
Yeah. Because I don't think they want to talk about kids getting shot too much.
Yeah, well, I mean, they do, though.
They do. Well, no, they want to talk about kids not being shot. That's the whole thing about Sandy Hook, because they want to say nothing happened.
I feel like in the 90s this would have been a bit of a flashpoint for the Second Amendment guys.
Well, because the end result of it is, can you not even give your depressed homicidal kid a gun?
Mm.
Like the government wants to tell you who you can and can't give a gun to. So yeah, it is a little weird that they keep you stum.
Yeah. What else we got, Cam?
There were rumors that Mel Gibson and Mark Wahlberg were going to do an anti-woke film. Was this based on anything?
No, I think they're maybe on a film. So they're on a film together, but then the rumor was they were going to start a whole studio doing this. And I've seen a couple of other rumors or like Patriot stuff around the Beyonce album. And I think they're all coming from like the same Facebook accounts or the same Facebook network, pushing these fake stories that they get a lot of traction really quickly. And then the media has to be like, no, that's not happening at all.
Well, on the website that people were linking to, it did have like a little note at the bottom saying this is satire. But it's like, that's just to cover the website. And I don't know if they need to be doing that covering, because no one's like, what's the point of covering yourself there like that?
Yeah.
Next bit of news is that Bennett Braun, the psychiatrist who fueled the satanic panic, had died at 83, per the New York Times.
Yeah, rotten piss, buddy, rotten piss.
We've got Hiding in Plain Sight. In DuckTales at Season 3, Episode 13, this is according to r/conspiracy.
Yep.
Someone has paused DuckTales.
Yep.
Uncle Scrooge is on a psychologist's couch, perhaps.
Yeah.
Or in some sort of doctor's office. I think it's some sort of doctor's office, because there's a...
potentially an eye doctor, maybe?
Yeah, an eye doctor, because there is a... But he's got his pants off. No, he's just got his...
Wait.
No, he doesn't wear pants. he's got his jacket off.
Yeah.
The point is, he's sitting in a doctor's office. It is a doctor with broad interests, because they have like some sort of anatomy chart, but they also have like an eye chart. And instead of the letters you would expect, it says, ask about Illuminati.
Yeah, I included this one because it was really enjoyable to see it get traction in the conspiracy subreddit, given every other news article that day was about Iran and Israel. Yeah. And like, you know, the threat of nuclear war and all this stuff. And then it's like, oh, a little quaint hidden message in a Disney thing.
Yeah, in old DuckTales or new DuckTales?
Old.
Old DuckTales. Season 3, episode 13.
Yeah. Woo.
So that's all of our news.
It also could read a scar bout.
Yeah, that's when I first looked at it. I was like, why are they hiding hidden scar messages in DuckTales. Robbo, they can find you on Blue Sky.
Yeah, lukerules.bsky.social.
Salty, they can find you on Twitch.
Find me on artbysalt.com.
Artbysalt.com. You can find me at Sexenheimer on Twitter. Not very often. Blue Sky, Mastodon. Not very often either. Just enjoy.
I don't think I've seen a skeet from you at all, Cam. In a while.
One of my famous bon mots. We're on Patreon. Thank you to Tammy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you're a patron member, I'll try and dump all the sources and stuff into the chat on our Discord. So if you want to read and watch some shitty podcasts or watch some bad things or just know where it all comes from, check that out.
Yeah. Also, if you're on the Discord, you can check out the Sunny Cowgirls Cutting Up BNS style that Robert's posted in the interim.
Yeah, drop that under the Star Wars channel.
And banger.
Banger. Such a good song.
All right. Later, skaters.
Yes.
Don't worry about a thing. Except if all our world leaders are alien reptilians. I said, don't worry about a thing. Except maybe the fluoride in our water supply contains mind-altering drugs. Don't worry. Except whether or not Port Arthur was a false flag operation in which to disarm Australia. I said, don't worry about a thing. I accept. You can definitely hear John Lennon say, I buried Paul at the end of Strawberry Fields forever. Ooh, don't worry about a thing. Except not only did Bush do 9/11, but he also keeps the planes out in Area 51, which...